So we'll resume. Now remember, there's the first four teachings. This is the fourth. First four teachings are on the spiritual side of man. The next four are on the psychological or the soulish side of man. And the last four are on the behavioral side of man. So four, four, and four. So the teachings are divided into discipling the spirit, that is reminding you. Discipleship doesn't give you anything spiritual. It disciples people that are spiritual. You already know God. You already know His gospel. You already know what repentance is, and you already know what faith is. We're just going over it. So discipleship needs to go over it because you can't disciple somebody that's not born again. You can't disciple non-born again people. All right. So we're looking now at the first four lessons, and this is the fourth lesson called faith. Now, faith is usually the one that everyone can identify with because that's how you become a believer. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So we started with God, then we went to the gospel because you can't know God without the gospel. You can't know God until someone preaches it to you. Now, you know him naturally because you have a conscience and you have reason. But you can't know him by revelation until somebody preaches, historically preaches, actually, physically preaches to you about Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you might think his name was Buddha, or you might think his name was, you know, witchcraft or something. You know there is a God. You know there's something supernatural. There's something spiritual out there, but you don't know anything about him until he reveals himself. And 100% of those that are guessing are guessing. They're just guessing. They don't know when they say, you know, God looks like Buddha, or if they say, you know, God's a spirit or whatever. They're just guessing. They don't know. They don't know. They don't know. They have no certain knowledge. So therefore, none of their gods say anything. That's smart. You don't get caught if you don't say anything. What if one of their gods would say, next Thursday, an atomic bomb will blow up? Well, then you might believe in them if it happened. But they judiciously don't talk. Because they're smart. Those other gods are real smart because they're made up by people. So they're just pure inventions. All they are is Jupiter is nothing more than Japheth. Jupiter, the god of the Greeks, just Japheth. In other words, his ancestors. They're just made up. You know, the thing about an egg or a turtle or whatever, those are just made up stuff. You understand? So all the religions of the world are bunk, baloney, nonsense, evil, nasty, bad, satanic. Was I clear? Okay. Very good. I like to be clear. It has nothing to do with arrogance or, you know, we're better than you are. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with truth. Only truth will set you free. And all other religions are general. That is, they could be known by anyone anywhere. This is the only truth you have to get out of history. Christianity is a historical religion. It's a historical religion. So, because it's historical, you have to have a personal relationship with him. You see, that's the part people don't like that idea. Well, I just want to know him all about myself. Okay, you can't. You can't just know him by yourself. You can't just walk out in the middle of a field and know God. God, are you out there? You ever done that? I have. I mean, you can try it. It doesn't work. You know. Now, God, if the sun sets tonight, then I'll know you're a friendly God. You know, and the sun sets, praise God. But the next day a storm hits. So you cannot figure God out by looking at nature. You know there is a God, but you don't know anything about him. You know him as Theos. You do not know him as Theos. That is, you know the external side of God. We went over this. You know him externally, but you don't know him internally. In other words, what good is it to know that God is if I don't know what his heart is toward me? What if he is a monster? I need to know if he's good or bad, for one thing. I need to know if he likes me. I need to know what I have to do to get him to like me. I need to know if he doesn't like me to do anything. Maybe all he wants is faith. That's what tonight's lesson is about, is that God has never, ever, 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 ever wanted you to obey him under the law. He's always wanted you to be his child, and to have a relationship, never to perform. He wanted you to have a relationship so that you would voluntarily just do things, not because you had to, just because you wanted to. So he didn't have a lot of customers, because most people are selfish. In fact, everybody's born selfish. It's just kind of a universal thing to be selfish. So they invent all those gods just to relate to their selfishness, especially the priests. They like to make gods that bring in beer. That's one of the things that priests like. Yeah, bring in beer. It's interesting. It must be a man god. I think a man made that god. Hello. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. It's naughty, naughty, naughty of me to say so, but it seems to me that the hand of man is in all of those religions, and particularly the priests. If I was smart, I would have invented my own. I would have had a god that, you know, I don't like beer, but I'd think of something he should bring in. So the priests are pretty clever. You know, they always seem to bring the kind of food they like to eat. The god likes hamburgers. So people bring the hamburgers and the priests eat them. That is funny. Y'all understand? So I'm sorry. I apologize to all those that are devotees of those that, you know, feel that there's some value to other religions. But their value is purely nonsense. Nonsense. It's not telling you anything about truth. Because they only know God externally. They know He is. They know that He wants you to be good. But they don't know what He's like, and they don't know what good means. Be good. Do what? Walk around the block 5 times? Bring Him an offering of the first fruits? I mean, what? So unless God reveals to you in history and time and personally tells you, this is what I want, you don't know anybody. You don't even know your husband or your wife. You don't know anybody until they talk. Words alone will not do it. I mean, behavior alone won't do it. You have to have words. Someone has to say, I love you. They have to communicate that to you, get that manifested somehow so that you personally know, I love you. That's where words come in. God created the earth with words. And God said. And when God said it, it happened. So words are very powerful out of the mouth of God. Our words are weak because they don't come from God. But if you would repeat the words of God, the ones He told you to repeat, then they'd be powerful for you. For example, every day I say these words. God is great. I say that every day. Why? He wrote that down in His book. He said, say continually, the Lord is great. That's how I say it. Every day I say it. I also say God is good. Why? Because He wrote that down in His book. He said, say continually, the Lord is good. So every day I say, the Lord is great. Every day I say, the Lord is good. He's good and He's great. Why do I do it? Because I believe there's power in words, and I believe they're creative, they're powerful, they produce something. God likes me to come back to Him the way He wants me to approach Him. If you approach God in the wrong manner, for example, by law, then God will reject you. So even though God gave the law, if you ever approach Him by the law that He gave you, you will be destroyed. Isn't that interesting? That God, who gave the law, knowing that people would try to approach Him through that law, but when He gave the law, He said, now, if you come to Me through this law, make sure you're perfect and don't be a hypocrite. Because I hate hypocrites. I will destroy you if you're a hypocrite. It'll just consume you like a fire. So people hear His law. Now, nature tells you that God is there, but it doesn't tell you what He wants and who He is. But revelation from Moses, for example, tells you, oh, here's His law. Oh, goody, goody, goody. Now I know His law. Now I know what He wants. Ha, ha, ha. Do you think that knowing the law means you want to do the law? Just because I know something is right, does that mean I'd want to do it? I find something in me that says, even though I know what's right, I want to do what's wrong. I don't know why. That is so interesting in me. Has anybody else discovered that contradiction in you? I know something is right. I know smoking is wrong. Therefore, people, if they were only taught that it was wrong, they wouldn't smoke. I find that doesn't work. They know that alcohol is wrong, and so they know that alcohol is wrong, so they won't do it. I find that is not what happens. I know that swearing isn't good. I know that, you know, war isn't good. Now, I don't care what you teach people. People are still going to do it. You can teach them all day long. Teach, 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 teach. Teach, talk, 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 teach, teach, talk, talk. Doesn't do a thing. And even those that do it outwardly, seemingly, are phonies, fakes, hypocrites, liars. And if you catch them off guard, you discover that man has never pleased God ever, 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 ever. So the wrong way to approach God is to find out what the right way to approach God is. You gotta find out. Law, never. No man is justified by the works of the law. We know this, Paul says. We know this. We know that nobody could ever be justified by being good. Your goodness stinks. I want to say it again because most people still haven't got onto this yet. But when man is good, when he establishes his own righteousness and puts it up into the nostrils of God, and puts it right into his nostrils, ooh, God calls that a stench. Ooh, what is that? That's my righteousness. And you're pushing it up into his nostrils. Oh, phew, phew, what is that? That was me being good. That's like a little kid, you know. So, God doesn't like that. You know what God likes? When you're bad. He likes it when you're bad. And you know it, and you tell him, I was bad. Here I am, naughty, bad, deficient, fall short. Everything you said not to do, I did it. Everything you said to do, I didn't do it. Is there any mercy? Now, you cannot ask for mercy unless you know there is mercy. Nobody's ever asked for mercy. None of the religions of the world ever come to God and say, God, we might have made a mistake. Then none of them have ever said that. So they're not going to ask for mercy because they don't know there is any mercy. It has to be revealed to you that there's mercy. So he gave the law so that you would ask for mercy. He gave the law not so you'd keep it, but so that you wouldn't keep it and then you'd ask for mercy. That's why he gave the law. He gave the law that no one has ever kept, no one ever will keep. It has never been kept by any human being. Now there's one exception. His name is Jesus. And Jesus kept the law because he was what the law was written for, because it's God's law, so God did God's law, because Jesus is God. So the reason Jesus kept the law was not that he was just like you and me. The reason he kept the law was because he was not like you and me, because he was the Son of God. And God sent him into the world to demonstrate to us, look, you have no excuse. Here's a guy, he's a man, he kept the law. You guys are guilty. It's kind of like, duh. How many know you're not like Jesus? You're not like Jesus. And that's why he sent Jesus, to reveal the hearts of men. Everybody's heart is revealed, like, I'm not like that. You slap me on the right cheek, I'm not going to turn the other one. But Jesus said, no, that's what you do. When people hate you, you love them back. We never thought of that. Well, that's what the law is really all about. It may be put in negative terms, like don't injure your neighbor, but it's actually a very positive thing, like love your neighbor. So the whole law is fulfilled not by any provision of the law, which says thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But the whole law is fulfilled in one word, thou shalt. But yet that's not in the law. So the law does not really say love thy neighbor as thyself, because the law couldn't say that. Because if the law said that, then you'd have to be able to do it and you couldn't do it. So it would be written to a donkey or a butterfly or something. The reason that the law doesn't say love one another earnestly and from the heart is because nobody can do it. So you would need to have mercy, and then you would need to have power. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. You need the mercy through the blood, you need the power through the Spirit. You need the mercy through the blood, you need the power through the Spirit. In other words, you don't just need God's holiness, which exposes, you need God's blood, which covers, and then you need His Spirit, which empowers. Now you have everything. So if you try to establish your own righteousness under the holiness of God, you will actually offend God. Because now you don't need the blood of Jesus, and you don't need the power of the Holy Spirit, and so God is useless. So the whole reason that he gave his holiness, he gave it through Moses. He told him, here's how holy I am. I hate all flesh. Any flesh that comes before me, I'll kill it. So then here's flesh monkeying around, pretending like it's keeping the law when it never kept the law. Because you have to keep it with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And you can't. You can't. You can't. You're not Jesus. So, very simple. I'm not saying this to, just to make it clear that God never wanted anyone to keep the law. He only wanted Jesus to keep it, so he'd give you a free gift, so you'd learn that the real heart of God is free gifting. The real heart of God was never that someone would keep it and then he'd have to spank you and bawl you out. The real heart of God was to kill off your flesh so you'd have no self-confidence. He never wanted anyone to have confidence. Not even Adam. You know, he didn't even want Adam before he sinned, you know, to have confidence. He wanted Adam to totally rely upon God for his existence, for his, you know, virtue, for his character, for his conduct, for everything. So that's why everything starts with faith. Faith, 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 faith. So there's only one way to please God. Come to him in faith. That is, come to him in the faith that you can't do it. That's repentance. And in the faith that the blood of Jesus will cover you. That's what your faith is in, the imputed righteousness of God, not your own. You don't have any actual righteousness. Imputed means you don't have any. Imputed means it's not really true, but I'm going to write it down anyway as though it were. That's what imputed means. So your righteousness, your own, is a filthy rag in the nostrils of God. Ooh, God hates it. He hates it when you come and say, I was good, I did right, I did what was expected, I've done my part of the marriage. You ever thought that? You ever thought, well, I kept up my part of the bargain. That's a lie. You didn't. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone is guilty, 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 guilty. Everyone has lied. Everyone has cheated. Everyone has done, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. You mean you outwardly didn't do it, or what do you mean? Yeah, I outwardly didn't do it. Outwardly means phony. Because what God wanted was from the heart. In other words, he wanted himself to be living inside of you so he could do it, so he'd get all the glory. He didn't want to ever pay anybody a wage. Like, oh, you kept it. Gee, I wasn't expecting anyone to do it. No, he never wanted anyone to kept it, because you couldn't kept it, because only God can kept it. Only God can keep the law that God made. He made it so hard, so impossible, that you can't do it. For example, I'll give you one of his laws. Love the Lord thy God. Well, forget that one. All right, with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength. All right, how about this one? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay, well, forget that one. How about husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church? Okay, forget that one. What about wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord? You know, well, okay, forget that one. Let's try to find an easy one. There ain't any. How about rejoice always? No, forget that one. How about every law that God has ever given to anybody, and the Bible's loaded with all these laws, every law is impossible. Not one law can be done by any flesh. Flesh can never keep the law. So the only thing that the law ever says is, if you bring any flesh into this temple, let's burn it first off. So that's it. That's the end of the matter right there. You come in and you're loaded with flesh. Flesh, 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 flesh. Flesh of the spirit, flesh of the soul, flesh of the body, flesh, 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 flesh. So burn, 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 burn. It's all over. That's why only Jesus is coming in. He's the only guy that when his flesh is burned off, the Spirit lives on, because Jesus is a Spirit man. And he gives you now his Holy Spirit. But if you didn't have his Holy Spirit, if you didn't have his blood, if you didn't have him doing it, you would have no standing before God. So the only way to please God is to come in faith. You have to come in faith, faith in the blood, which is faith in the word about the blood, which is faith in the word. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But what are you hearing? What you're hearing is about the blood of Jesus that forgave you, and the Holy Spirit that empowers you, and that's what you're believing in. I'm believing that God is so holy that my flesh is not. I'm believing God is so holy that he has to give me his holiness or I won't have any. That's what I believe. I believe I can't and he can and we will together because of the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. Now I believe I can't, he can, he did, and I can do it too in him, through him, by him. In other words, him. In other words, I didn't do it. Did you all see how that worked? So that's different than me thinking, well, I can't do all of it, but I can do part of it. You can't do any of it. Never have, never will. God never made one creature that was able to do it. Jesus Christ is not a creature that was able to do it. Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ. So what Jesus did, you cannot do. Oh, I'll tell you how you can do it. You can do it the same way Jesus did it. You know how Jesus did it? He didn't do it by faith. He did it because he said, I didn't do it. Someone could say, good teacher. He said, no, 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 no. None is good but God. You mistook me for a man. I think you mistook me for a man. None is good but God. Well, but you are good. Ah, but the works I do, I don't do. The works I do, I don't do. Jesus said, the works I do, I don't do. The Father who dwelleth in me doeth the works. The only purpose of a son is to show forth and manifest the Father. Now there's a creature. Even Jesus himself was not doing good works. The good works that were done, he ascribed to the Father who dwelt in him. Now, you begin to understand why it's so important not just to behave right, doesn't please God at all, but to be right. And how do I get the be? I've got to become part of God. And how do I become part of God since I don't know how to do part of God? I don't even know what God's like and what he wants. Then the only thing you can do is give it as a gift. You can be born as a gift. You can be adopted as a gift. You can be married as a gift. But it's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's nothing you ever earned. It never will. So to approach God, you must approach him in faith. Now, was I clear? I can go on for hours and years and, you know, decades, because this is the greatest topic in the world. As a matter of fact, this is the only topic in the world. There is no other topic to know in life but this one. Everyone assumes they know what faith is. They do not. Because faith is not just in, you know, the holiness of God, which condemns our flesh. And it's not just in the righteousness of God that makes you righteous by imputed blood. It's also faith in the power of the Holy Spirit to indwell you and enable you to keep the law, because you didn't do it, because he's living in you so that he can do it through you so that you get the credit. But you didn't actually do it. When it's all done, you don't say, "We did it." You say, "He who dwelleth in me did it. I had faith in him. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory." Whenever a good work comes out of you, you don't say, "I did that." Pride, pride, pride. "I did that." No, you don't. You say, "I can't believe that happened. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. It's a miracle." Do you understand? When you love somebody, that's a miracle. Not like, "Thank God I don't have a husband like she has." Or, you know, "Thank the Lord I'm a more loving person than he is." Have you ever heard the devil recommend that thought to you? "You're much nicer than he is." Have you ever heard that? You have. I know you have. You wake up in the morning and a little pride thing comes up. "You know, you're a very good wife." "I know." "I know that." There's another voice you could hear. "You're not a good wife." Say it, "I'm a bad wife." "Apart from him, I can do nothing." It's all in Jesus. So if anything good ever comes out of you, it's a miracle. It wasn't you. You can do no good thing. You're not capable of doing good. You weren't built to do good. You were built to house God who doeth good. I'm going to say that again. You weren't built to do good. You were built to house God to do good. That's a faith. That's a faith thing. That anything good that comes out of me wasn't me, it was God. In other words, only God does good. Isn't that an amazing statement? Only God is good. That's what Jesus was saying. Only God is good. Good teacher, good pastor, good wife, good husband, good, you know. Well, you know, it's an oxymoron. None is good. Jesus was not just kind of like making a poetic statement. He was literally teaching the truth that'll set us free. Anything good comes out of you, it didn't come out of you. It came from another, maybe through you, but not from you. And the only way that happened is if you were born of him. And then, you see, the whole world's born by him. Everybody's born by him. But you have to be born again of him. You see the difference between of and by? Those are really huge, huge words. Of and by are two different prepositions. And those little prepositions are so important in the Bible. If you pay attention to the bys and the whoms and the throughs and the, you know, all those are really important. So you look at all those little things. But the whole world is created by God, but it's not of God, therefore it passes away. Everybody in the world, no matter how nice they've behaved, all go to hell. They all go to hell in a handbasket. Get in the handbasket, get in the handbasket. So they all go to hell, floating down the hell river until they go right into hell. All the road to good intentions and all that kind of thing, it's over, nothing. This to me is so exciting. It is so powerful. Because that's why Jesus said, I didn't come for the righteous, because there weren't any. That's why he said it. I didn't come for the righteous. It isn't that he wouldn't come for the righteous. It's that there weren't any righteous. So he said, I didn't come for the righteous. I came for the sinner, because that's all there were. Boo. That's what he said, you know, is you're all sinners. He came into a dark world, and there was no light in it. Came into the world as the light of the world, and there was no light in it. Buddha is no light. You know, Muhammad is no light. You know, whatever light people think they have, the Enlightenment, you know, TCU, these are not light places. These are darkness places. You know, our universities are brothels. Our universities are beer halls. Our universities are not places of learning. They are places of immorality and impiety. Degradation. You are sending your children to hell. I don't know if I was clear on that. You're not helping them. They better have a strong Jesus before they go to Texas Christian or, you know, Southern Methodist University or whatever, because those Christian schools aren't Christian. You can send them to the little kid Christian schools too, and they're not Christian there either. There's just as much dope and just as much all that other garbage and nonsense that goes on because of the kind of teachers that are there. The teacher is the key, isn't it? That's why Jesus was the true teacher. And he taught us the truth that there is no hope in flesh. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop hoping in flesh. Stop relying on man. Stop trusting in man. Stop trusting in yourself. Trust none but God. Now, faith is the way to approach it after you're dead. Only dead people can have this. Because you have to be dead to this world. You have to be dead to your own goodness. You have to be dead to your capacity. You have to be dead to the fact that maybe the marriage thing is me. That's a very good thought. It's a wonderful thought. I wonder if the problem in this 15th marriage I'm on is me. I don't know. It could be. You see, that kind of humility is really important. There's, I don't think I can do anything. Apart from him, I can do nothing. You think he was just exaggerating. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, we can plant a tree. We can build a bridge. You know, we can get married. Yes, yes, but you're really not doing anything. That's just vanity. It's just vanity. That's just for your own fears and lusts and so on. You're not doing anything. Not in the eyes of God. In the eyes of God, that's called doing nothing. Because you're heading for hell and you're doing nothing. You're just surviving until you go to hell. So people are thinking, we made it. We lived 80 years. Okay, tomorrow it's hell. You know, it's like you lived 80 years for nothing. That was vain. Do you understand? So many people are just living in utter oblivion. They're living in utter foolishness. It's sad that they don't see the power that God has offered you, escape, a way out. The only way out, faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. That is historical. That is not something open to the natural man. No natural man has ever figured that out, ever will figure it out. It's impossible to figure out. As a matter of fact, even when you hear it, you have to laugh at it. Is what? He loves sinners? God, the Holy One, wants sinners? I don't think so. I would think he'd want righteous people. Well, he redefined righteousness. He redefined it. He redefined righteousness totally. He said, here's righteousness. I go to the Father. Honey, you should have heard the message today. It was really good. He goes to the Father. That's our righteousness. Were you? What were you on? I mean, where did you go to church today? Because that didn't make a lot of sense. And the righteousness, because I go to the Father. What does that have to do with anything? How is that my righteousness? How is my righteousness related to his going to the Father? What does he mean, going to the Father? Where is the Father? Is that in Dallas? Where is that? How do you do that? How did Jesus go say nobody understands that because they don't understand what sin is? Sin is not believing in Jesus. Sin, I thought sin was breaking the Ten Commandments. It's not sin. That's not sin. That's not sin. Of course that's sin. But the real sin, the sin behind all the sin, is that you don't believe in Jesus. It's not that you break the Ten Commandments, you break 9, 10, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It isn't that. That's not the problem. The problem is, what do you do after you do all that? Because you're going to do all that. When the Lord God says, love me with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and your neighbor as yourself, the next response should be, I can't. I won't. I didn't. That's all. I mean, what else can you say? You can't say, we will do it. Well, we never knew what it was you wanted, but now that we know, I swear. Boom. You made a big impression on God. So God goes, wow, Mrs. God, look, they're going to do it. How many know that will religion stinketh? When somebody says they'll do it, that means they won't. You understand that. I'm going to do it. Yeah, sure. Okay, all right. Woo! So when man decides to do something, it means absolutely nothing. Because you have to find out what it is he wanted you to do. And I can sum it up in one word, perfection. Just be perfect. Or I can put it in another word, be Jesus. It's kind of simple, right there. As long as you're ready to be perfect and be Jesus. Oh, by the way, you have to be perfect not just 1 minute, or 1 hour, or 1 day, or 1 month, but all the time you're born. In fact, even when you're in the womb. So nine extra months. You have to be perfect before you're born, and then after you're born, and then up until the day you're dead, then you'd be perfect. Ain't never been such a person. You get those little kids coming out of the womb. Ah! That's not what God wanted. Here's what he wanted. Come out of the womb. Praise the Lord. You know, but those little kids don't come out saying praise the Lord. They come out, you know. You know what I'm saying? So this is really not keeping the law. Ah! That's pure selfishness. That is, feed me, take care of me. What am I doing? Are you my parents? Oh my gosh, you don't know what you're doing. You know, and so little kids coming out are just frightened. Ah! They're not exactly praising the Lord. You have to learn obedience through what you suffer. Right? Anyway, so faith. Faith is everything. Let's look at the first one. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Word. Hearing and word. Those are the two blanks. Hearing and word. When we hear it as gospel. Good news. To us personally in our hearts. So there it is. Four different words. Hearing, word, gospel, hearts. All of that's necessary. Hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word. That is God's word. And when we hear it, we have to hear it. If he gave a command, you couldn't have faith. Commands never bring faith. It has to be the gospel, which is a promise. So faith is totally built. I'm going to go up here and write it on the board. Faith is totally built on promises. Faith is totally built on a promise. So I've got to build this faith on a promise from God. So when God makes this promise, again, the natural man doesn't hear these promises. They have to be revealed. So God makes a promise to us. When he makes a law to us, I can repent. When he makes a promise to us, I can believe. So this side of God over here, God, when he makes a law, that's just to stop you from doing anything and stop lying to God that you're going to do something. You can't. You can't know what's right. You can't do what's right. You can't even want what's right. The natural man neither knows nor wants nor does. He can't want, he can't know, he can't do anything. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's the natural man, and that's what the law proves. The law is good for everybody. Everyone should hear the law. Because the law that Moses got was a perfect law. The law itself is perfect. Not the law of Buddha. That's not a perfect law. That's a completely dumb law written strictly to let people sin. All the laws of Buddha are just for the flesh so that the flesh stays alive. But the laws of Moses are totally designed to kill off all flesh and only leave holiness, which leaves nothing. There's nothing in me that's holy. When God sees you, what is it he's going to leave over? I have to burn up, hold it right there at the doorway. I have to burn up all your flesh first of all. Oh, where are you? You know, there's nothing left. But don't worry about it. I will save your goodness. If you had any. You know, and it's kind of like, you see, it's all over. So now the only way you can please God is to come, not dressed up in your righteousness and self-righteousness and hypocrisy and lying and tricks and games. The only way you can come is totally by faith. You better have a promise. Because if you're coming by law, you're finished. Law must die. Law is totally blind to the human heart as well as to God's heart. I'm going to say that again. Law is totally blind not only to the human heart but also to God's heart. Only equity responds to God's heart and touches the human heart. That is, the law, the letter of the law that killeth, but the spirit of the law giveth life, which is the gospel. The spirit of the law is the gospel. The spirit of the law is that part of the law that you didn't see. The Jewish rabbis make a distinction between the white fire and the black fire. The black fire is the letters that are written on the page. The white fire is what's not written there. And what's written there, what isn't there, when you read all the words, what you're not reading is love. Love God. But you can't do that. So, God loves you. I can believe that. That's a promise. Love God, that's a command. But God loves me. Wow, that's a promise. Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. That's the first thing I need to know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. We are weak, but he is strong. That's it. There's the end of all theology. I don't know what a seminary would teach if it didn't teach that. That's all that TCU, I've taught at TCU over here, Bright Divinity School. I've taught there. All he can teach is what I just taught. Jesus loves me, this I know. That's it. It's a wonderful teaching. That's all there is. Isn't that pathetic? You could learn that back in the Sunday school. I mean, you don't really need this big, sophisticated, all this stuff of learning Hebrew and Greek and Latin and everything. You don't even need all that. You don't need church history and doctrine and so on. If you just knew that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. However, there's a lot to that. So, now we want to look at that to unfold this first teaching on faith. Two, even the law of God, that part of His Word which tells me what I ought to do for God, what I ought to do for God, love to God and love to others, that's what I ought to do, love to God and love to others, those are commands, love to God and love for others, that's a command. Only, even the law of God, that part of His Word which tells me what I ought to do for God, love to God and love to others, can become gospel, good news to me, if the law can become gospel. The bad news can become good news. If I know that all His words come from a loving Father. Ah, so now I see what the secret is. The secret then is to know who God is. Forget you. We've got to find out who God is. Now, either God is a righteous judge, a holy judge that hates sin, and we know He is one of those, righteous judge hating flesh, hating sin, flesh, devil, etc. Or He's a loving Father that doesn't want you to perish under the law because all you have is sin, and He wants to forgive you through the blood. Forgive you, these are promises. Promise number one, forgive you through faith in the blood of Jesus, through faith in blood to cover you. That forgives you. And then empower you. Now He forgave me, now He's going to empower me. Empower you through meditation. I could say faith again, but really it's more meditation now that I'm in the family. Through the Spirit, by the Spirit, through His Spirit. So Spirit and blood, those are the two things I need. I need the blood to forgive me, and I need the power to give me. I need the Holy Spirit to dwell in me and give me that. So I need to learn about God. I need to come to know God. That's what life is all about. Life is all about coming to know God. And when I fall in love with Him, this is not a teaching for me. This is my life. I'm in love. I'm in love. And when you're in love, you're in love, you're in love. You don't know anything. You're not thinking of time and space and people hating you and wars and anything. When you're in love, it's just like, I'm just in love. Have you ever been in love even humanly? Even humanly, you just kind of get lost to time and space. It's like, I got to have Peggy. You know, I just got to be with Peggy. It's powerful, you see. It's just so exciting to be in love. Y'all in love? You ever been in love? You know what love's like? You're thinking of real people, I guess. Because, you know, when you love real people, they're not worthy of your love, and so they turn on you and you get hurt and all that kind of stuff. Well, I don't care about that. Because I met Jesus, and when I fell in love with Jesus, then I fell in love with Peggy. Because that first kind of love I had was kind of silly love. You know, that didn't have a lot of foundation to it because it was built on an illusion of who Peggy was until I actually got married to her. I found out what she was. She was a lot more wicked than I anticipated. And my wickedness came out to meet her wickedness. We had two wickednesses meeting each other. That's what we did. Two sinners were married to each other. Isn't that amazing? So I realized, aha, Peggy is a snake in the grass like I am. I wonder what we do now. Two snakes. Fortunately, two rattlesnakes don't bite each other. So we were still alive. I don't know what they do. I guess they just have other rattlesnakes. Okay, anyway, so, but here's God saying, you know, Jim, the only way you're going to make it is if I help you. That's a good idea, because I can't help myself. When he says, don't sin, I do. When he says, do this right thing, I don't. Whatever he tells me to do, I do the opposite. If I hear, don't envy, first I have to figure out what that is. And then when I figure it out, I know right away, I think I've done it. I think I've done it. Now, Jim, don't be angry. I'm already mad. You know, I mean, that's just, any law he gives me, I'm going to mess up. I'm just kind of nervous when I hear the law. Are you all nervous when you hear the law? Now, here's all God's asking you to do. Be perfect. It's like, no contest. I mean, you don't forget it. Okay, it's over. Now, however, for anyone that failed group number one, we got another idea over here. Come over here. And then he's got a promise box over here. Here's a promise. If you didn't please me with all your heart and strength and all that stuff, I'll give you a promise. I'll do it for you. Gosh, Mom, could you make the bed for me? I just don't know how to do it. Could you clean my toys? I just can't do it. Mom, could you help? Could you forgive me for not doing it? And then could you help and do it? And then I'll love you. And, you know, the last part was kind of silly. Yeah, because little kids will forget you in about 3 minutes. You know, oh, I love you so much, Mom. Thank you for cleaning my room. You know, or, okay, you don't have to eat your peas. Get up. Go watch TV. You know, little kids are so excited when the law's taken off. But then how are they ever going to grow up? Well, God's going to have to come to them and not just spank them for being bad, but he's going to have to forgive them and then actually train them, disciple them. That's what we're doing here. Disciple them, teach them the truth, and help them to do it. In other words, he's going to have to not just tell you and then walk away and then you'll do bad. He's going to have to stay with you all the time because otherwise you'd do bad. And then he's going to have to do it for you, and then he's going to do it in you, and then he's got to do it with you. So really, your whole life's just going to be taken over by God, because that's the only way you can please him. If he just completely takes over your life. Now, nobody would want that unless you were a total failure. If you're a total failure, you might want that. But as long as you got any power in yourself and a little bit of self, you know, I don't need help. I think I can do it. If you're the little engine that could, you don't need God's help because you're the little engine that could. And you can just do it. But if you're like me, that's it. Then you're over. You pooped out right away. And you're the little engine that couldn't, didn't, wouldn't. Now they'll make another book on that. The little engine that poo-pooed on the side of the track. He didn't make it. That was me. That is my story. But that little story is meant to encourage people to do it. But you know, before God, you can't. I mean, before people, that works. But before God, that doesn't work. Because people are phonies and fakes, and they'll take your fakery for their fakery so that you don't tell on them, they won't tell on you kind of thing. But you know, God is not like that. He wants absolute perfection. He wants you to do everything that you do totally without any selfish thought, totally, you know, with purity. That makes it hard. But with impossible with man is possible with God. You see, that's why he comes into us through faith, and not only forgives us, but then he helps us through the Holy Spirit. And he just kind of takes over. In fact, he kills off our flesh. The Holy Spirit won't even come in if you got any flesh left. It's, whoa, what is this in my house here? What it is. We'll push that aside. Push that aside. Let's clean this up. No, don't. I'm saving that. That T-shirt, I had that since I was 4. You know, I've always kept that. You ever have somebody come and clean your house, you got to be careful because they might throw out something valuable. Hey, whoa, what are you doing? This park, look at all the holes in it. Yeah, but I had that when I was in high school. Men are like that. I don't know about women. That was my park. I want that. I want to keep that. Peggy's always trying to go through and clean up. What are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, this pile right here, we're going to give it to the Goodwill. No. Look at this, but let's save out a couple of these here. you don't even fit in those anymore. I will. I'm going to do some push-ups. I'm going to I'll fit in those. You never know. So we're always trying to save all our debris. But God has a whole idea, just wipe out everything and start all over again. Everybody's like, oh, all the stuff I've done in this world. And son, yeah, it's no good. It just burns up, wood, hay, and stubble. Burn. That's it, it's gone. Now he'll give you a whole new thing. You remember when Jacob came down into Egypt, Joseph told him, the son, don't bring any stuff. What about those new pans you bought me? No, he said, don't bring any stuff. They got nice pans down there, apparently. And so, you know, if you just got some stuff, some of the stuff you have, you'd like to keep. Every once in a while, you know, when people's houses burn down, they lose everything. When the flood comes in Katrina or whatever, you lose everything. It's awful because that means more than life itself, some of those things. You know, I had that stamp. Saved that from Madagascar. I had that when I was 4. And I tell you, when thieves come in and rifle your house, I remember one time we had all these gold coins that my grandfather had given me from Mexico, all kinds of really neat stuff. And the thieves came in and stole it all. I wish now I'd put those in a safe. I don't know how they figured out where that sock was. Thought I had that rather well hidden away. Anyway, thieves can take your stuff, and then all of a sudden, if your life is bound up in things, you don't have a life. Or maybe it's bound up in a relative, a mother, a father, a husband, a wife, a child. Then you don't want to live anymore. You better put all your life in the Lord. You better put all your hope in the Lord. Because everything in this world can go. Everything in this world can go. Everything in this world can go. The minute you have a child, you got to think this, I better give it back to the Lord. Because if I tie my life up into this child, I may not live after that. So Lord, I give you back this child. It's my child you gave to me, but it's also my child to give back to you because I know you are the creator of this child, not us. We were just the channels. I give you back my child. I take that child and put it on the altar. It's your child. You take care of this child. I'll be your steward. But it's just a gift, a borrowing. And at a certain point, you're the one that takes over. You're the one that raises this child. You're the one that then guides this child after I'm dead, after I'm gone, after I'm done. Do you know how to raise children? You can't get bound up in their lives because they will go independent on you. How many mothers have felt the heartache of their little 10-year-old boy that was so sweet when he became 11 or 12 or 16 or 18 or 37 and he's still at home? You know, it's like, you know, sweetheart, don't you think you should get up? Well, Mom, I don't know. Well, you're 45, you know, and you should be going to work today. And then some moms have raised their children so crippled that they're still totally dependent on mama's love. Hello? Better to push them out. Bye-bye. Now, see, God wants us to grow up. Amen? Out into the harsh world. Oh, we have to pay rent out here. We have to fill our car with gas that we buy. You know, and stuff like that. It's tough out in the world. You have to pay for food when you go through the line. You know, stuff like that. It's awful. You have to drive on the right side of the street. You can't drive all over the lawns of other people. I mean, you know, when you're first a teenager, it just seems like, yahoo, I'm free. Until you realize you're not really free. You're not really free. When you leave your mother's home, there's all kinds of laws and rules everywhere. Did you find that out? Did everybody find that out? When you got out there, I thought I was free to run my own life. Yeah, you're free to ruin your own life. But you don't have all the freedom you think. Like, who's going to fix this? The plumbing, you know, or the whatever it is. Maybe Peggy will say, Jim, the thing is broken. Fix it. No, you're the husband. You fix. I don't know how to fix it. Let's just pray. Let's call somebody. Who should we call, you know? I tell you, growing up is hard. It's painful. Growing up is painful and hard. It's difficult. There's going to be some suffering in it. Amen? I tell you, working with people is hard. It's hard. All right, the last one. If I know all his words come from a loving father, that was number two, then, only then, can I make the law of God into the gospel of God. I can turn, you can give me any law you want, I'll turn it into the gospel. Now, other people have the magnificent gift of turning every gospel into a law. Now, I have the gift of turning every law into a gospel. All depends on which one you're going to use to eat up and chew up and consume the other one. You can't give me a law that scares me or bothers me or that I'd even attempt to do. There's no law. I'm just no good with law. I totally live off of promises. I live every day of my life by the promises of God. Y'all live by the promises of God? Y'all live by the promises of God? Because that's the only thing to live by. Laws will eat up promises. Whatever law he gave, I'm sorry, promises will eat up laws. You don't, but most people will take even the gospel and turn it into a new law. Rejoice always. Okay, hallelujah. It's like, I don't think, you know, that's not good news to you. Well, I'm trying to rejoice. Well, you're not supposed to try to, you're supposed to do it. Well, I can't. It's like, you can't, you know, you're turning good news into bad news. I was saying, you know, dance a little bit, sing a little bit, have a little fun. I can't. You know, so people are obeying the law and they're just turning the gospel into a law. But I just turn every law into a gospel. I believe everything's going my way. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-yay, mile, you know. And I just think everything, it always goes my way. I never lose. Did you see how I did that? I never lose. It's always in my favor. Even when something bad happens, I always consider that's in my favor. Well, I just don't understand it, but I'm sure it's in my favor. So I rejoice always. Count it all joy when you face various trials. Well, that was a trial, so I counted it all joy. You see, because everything has to go my way because it's impossible that something should not go my way. Well, look what's happening right there. I'm not going to look. I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen to God, because faith comes by hearing. It doesn't come by seeing. Faith comes by hearing. It doesn't come by seeing. You can look. I'm going to listen. I'm listening to God. Here's what God says. Jim, that weapon fashioned against you, it won't prevail. What that doctor just said, not true. Check with me. Oh, God, am I going to die? Doctor says I'm going to die in 3 weeks or within 6 months or something. Is that true? No. Well, it isn't. Well, what are you going to do? What, you have any promises for me? That's an interesting one, isn't it? I'm going to scramble through and try to find them. Let's see if you got any promises. Anything. Ah, here's one. Here's a promise. And this is fun to do. Ah, here's a promise. Obey me. Huh, that's not a promise, that's a law. But it's interesting. Because it's a law, then if I decide to obey him, I must have a promise that he'll keep me alive so I can obey what he told me to do. Did you see how I did that? Did you see how I took a law and turned it into a promise? Hey, God told me to love my wife. I haven't done that yet. So apparently, I'm going to do that. And so you got to keep me alive. Keep me alive. Ha, ha, ha. Because you told me to do it. Ha, you told me. So I got to do it. And I haven't done it yet. But I'm going to do it. And so you'll have to keep me alive. So do you have any promises on that one? Because if God gave me the law, then I'd have to stay alive in order to do the law. Or I have a better one for you. What if God said, Jim, the whole thing in your, you know, repenting and your faith and your love is all so I can give you an inheritance someday. Oh, good. Goody, 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 goody. I'm going to get an inheritance. I'm going to heaven. What do I get? A harp? A seat on a cloud? How many know that that's what you're going to get when you get there? Here's your harp. Here's your seat. You know, it's going to be nice. It's a lot nicer than you think it is. It doesn't sound that interesting, but it is. And we're going to have nice harps. Okay, but no, that's not what it is. That's not what it is. What is it? You know what it is? It's falling in love with Jesus because he's your inheritance. It's God. That's your inheritance. You're going to inherit God. And you know what? If he tells me that I'm going to inherit God, that's a promise, then I can't die because dead people don't inherit anything. I guess I'm going to live forever because God lives forever and he's my inheritance. So I must live forever to get that inheritance that lives forever. Ha! I like that. Did you see how I just did that? That is amazing. You cannot, if you see a person dead, they lose their inheritance. But I'll never die. I have his promise on that. Why? Because he told me I was going to have an inheritance. And the good work he began in me, he will surely complete at the last day. I believe that. So therefore, I know I'm not going to die. Because I'm going to be born again. I'm going to be of God. I'm going to be eternal just like he is. Because he's going to give me himself. So now I'm resurrected and I have a spirit in me. No longer my old spirit, but I get a new spirit that enervates me and energizes me. And it pumps me up. New. I'm going to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. When this flesh burns and falls away and so on, I still have my spirit. So I know that all things are working together for my good. I know that I know that I know. So I'm turning every law into a good news. You see, give me all the laws you want. I'm looking for more laws. Give me more laws. Yeah, I've found out as many laws as I can get because I've agreed to keep them in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he wants to put his spirit in me to keep those laws. So we got plenty to do. I doubt I'm going to die. I just doubt it. I'm 65. Peggy's 5 days older. Don't forget that. I'm going to die one of these days, but it's going to be, you know, one of these days. It could be another 60 years before I do it. I don't know how long it could be, but I'm not done yet. I have so much to do. And I don't go, oh, I have too much to do. I go, pile it on. Just give me more stuff because I need to stay alive to do it. I'm full of energy. I'm energized. Why? Because I got so much to do. I'm like, wake up in the morning. Peggy can tell you. I'm just like, yahoo. And I just run into the back room to do some more. Then I come out and have to love her and eat my cereal and do all that stuff. It's good. Just pile it on. Then I have all the church members that need everything. Yeah, hallelujah. So I'm going to have to stay alive, apparently, to do all that. I've agreed to do it. How many know God doesn't really need me? He could do without me pretty easily. But I was wanting to stick in there. It's kind of like I could stay alive that way. If I do his will, you're not going to take me home until I'm done. I keep finding new ones in there. Well, God, I was going to die last night, but I found another one right here I hadn't done yet. So I'm using all God's laws to turn them into gospels. Isn't that neat? All right, here we go. Faith knows that God is always a loving Father. He is never an angry judge. Loving, angry. 4, God hates sin, but he never hates me. He hates sin, but he doesn't hate me. He hates sin, but he doesn't hate the sinner, the person. He hates the sin, which is an act, but he doesn't hate the person. I like that. In other words, make the tree good, then the fruit will be good. So, because he loves me, I become a loving fruit tree, bearing loving fruit. Because he loves me. I'm not bearing fruit because I'm a good person. I'm bearing fruit because God's a good person. Did you see that? Do you see how that worked? I'm not a good husband to Peggy in my own strength. In my own strength, I'd choke her. But in God, Jesus likes her. And just before I go to choke her, he says, whoa, Jim, what are you doing? I was going to choke her. She needed this. God, really, she did. She did. He said, no. I want you to love her. Okay. Could I choke her a little bit and then love her afterwards? I just choked? No. I want you to love her the way I love her. You're looking at her all wrong. I guess I am. What are you seeing? You know, and God sees her differently than I see her. He does not see her. I used to see her in the beginning of the marriage as kind of like enemy number one. You know, it's like, Peg, why do I need enemies? You're right here. Even before I get out the door, you've already slaughtered me. And I come home, I tell you what a pitiful day it's been, and you beat me up for, you know, not coming home with anything or whatever. And it's kind of like, man, you know, this is, I thought you were my helpmate. I'm helping. This is not helping. And God showed me, you know, you're looking at it wrong. That's actually good what she's doing. Oh, that just kills the flesh. Oh, thanks, Peg. You're doing a great job. Man, I've never had such a good job. It's just changed my whole attitude on the whole thing. Well, that's great. So whenever Peg's saying that, see, she's not attacking me. She's just attacking my sin. Ah, it's good to have a pal like that. Amen? Amen. Do you understand? Isn't that powerful? Don't you think that's powerful? I do. I think it's powerful. All right, next one. Repentance. Repentance refers to me confessing sin. Faith refers to me confessing that his righteousness in the blood of Jesus covers my sin. and is imputed to me as my righteousness in the sight of God. Sin covers righteousness. Sin covers righteousness. So Jesus' blood, which I have faith in, covers my sin. So I had some sin, but now it's covered. So in the eyes of God, he doesn't see it. And it's imputed to me as my righteousness in the sight of God. 6. Repentance refers to my old man in Adam, whether heart, soul, or behavior. Faith refers to my new man in Christ, whether heart, soul, or behavior. Old, new. Repentance, 7, is always found in the company of faith. There is no such thing as repentance without faith or faith without repentance, when there is neither of them are true. They always go together. Repentance cannot be true repentance unless God's holiness is joined by faith. Holiness plus faith. Torah plus faith. In God's loving mercy and power. So those are the two things that God promises you that the law can't give you. The law can't give you mercy, and the law can't give you power. The law can't give you mercy, and the law can't give you power. The law doesn't give you the blood. You take the blood when the law fails. The law says be good, and you didn't. And so now you go outside the law to the priest. Moses gives the law, but Aaron is the blood guy. He's the priest guy. So if I sinned under the law, then I run away from the law, and I run over to Aaron, the high priest. And I say, Aaron, I need some blood to cover me. Good. Now I need the Holy Spirit to help me, because I'll keep needing too much blood. I need a continual transfusion. So God wants me to operate now in his holiness, which comes by imputation through the blood, and actual power through the Holy Spirit. So that's amazing to me that God's got all the bases covered. He's got everything figured out for me. The law doesn't condemn me now. It actually just condemns my flesh, but doesn't condemn me. And then the blood comes along to help me, because even though I've been condemned for my behavior, I'm not condemned as my person, so the blood covers me, so the person is saved even though the sin was lost. And then the Holy Spirit comes and helps the person so that it doesn't sin anymore, so it doesn't need any more blood, so that I get all the glory. Yes, praise God. This is exciting. It's all by faith. It's a gift, it's a gift, it's a gift. It's free, it's free, it's free. And now I'm learning something about the love of God. Ah, now I know the love of God. It was never to give the law. The law was just to help me negatively. But the Holy Spirit has helped me positively. So the Holy Spirit sent me to will and to do. Now I want to do the will of God. And I know what it is, too. And not only that, it's to be like Jesus. It's to be just like God. You see, because God was in Christ, reconciling the world. Now, it's not like Buddha. Ah, that was a lie. I see what it's like. It's like Jesus. That's what it was all about. All those other religions are lies because it's like Jesus. That's what God really wanted. He really is the father of Jesus. He's not the father of Buddha. He's not the those guys are liars. You see? Ah, now I'm understanding. Because Buddha just wanted me to, you know, behave myself. And Muhammad, he just wanted me to bow 5 times a day and give some money and whatnot. Yeah, that's too much work. That's what the Catholics wanted me to do, too. It's too much work. They got me going to church all the time, washing my face, getting cleaned up, acting phony. That's too much work. Hello? And Protestants, now they do the same thing. So many Protestants have you working all the time. I hate making bricks, especially without straw. You know? I just wasn't made for brick making. I think I was made for leisure. I was just made to eat, drink, and be merry. I don't know. I'm very good at that. I'm very good at that. I'm a natural. Is anybody else like me? You know, I don't know. It's just a natural. I was just a natural. And so I need Jesus because I know there's a lot of flesh in me. A lot. I mean, just like 99.999. Okay, 100%. All right. There's 100% of flesh in you. So how do you get any righteousness that survives? Jesus gets in you. And then the only part that survives is the Jesus in you. That you is the only you that survives. That's the new you. The old you dies, but the new you is Jesus in you. The old you was me apart from Jesus, me. Do you see the difference? This me is a me, but it's a me that was apart from Jesus, me. A me that was trying to please God and didn't. This other me over here is a new kind of me, which is a Jesus and me together me. Jesus in me and Jesus in me and Jesus, abiding in him abiding in me. We're one. Oh, I like this Jesus, because I'm going to live just like him. Wherever he goes, I goes. Wherever he stops, I stops. Whatever he speaks, I speaks. You know, whatever he does, I does. Because Jesus and me, we're one. Just like Peggy and me. If you invite me over, you got to invite Peggy. If you invite her over, you got to take me. Because we're one. Amen? So, you know, you call up, and if you can't get me, it's okay. Peggy's right there. Here, here's what Jim would have said. I'm even going to say it better than he could have said it. You know, and it's great. She's good. I listen in. So that's very good, Peg. I'm glad I didn't have to talk to that person. He did a very good job on that one. And so I'm letting Peggy just kind of handle all my calls. Just say, I'm not here. Now I can read and pray. I love it. All right. Initial repentance happens, 9. Initial repentance happens the moment when our old man, Adamic nature, is crucified. Crucified. Oh, that's what we need is crucifixion. Crucifixion of the old man. And I realize, in the light of God's holiness, mercy, and power, that apart from Jesus and faith in his name, I can do blank to please God. What's the blank? Nothing. Nothing. I can do nothing to please God. You guys are catching on. Whenever you see a blank, you fill it in. See how well you do. Now let's go on to the next one, see if you can get it. Daily repentance refers not to the moment when I'm born again in my spirit, man, by faith. Oh, I forgot to give you the blank on that one. That's daily repentance. That's different than one-time repentance. This is daily. But to the continual action of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis when my old man is crucified in my soul, by faith, in the ongoing efficacy of his merciful, what? Merciful efficacy. Yeah, that means efficacious. That means, you know, something that God did is working for me to benefit me all the time. That's called efficacious. It's effective for me. It's efficacious. What is it? What's working for me all the time to keep me forgiven? My faith in his blood. Blood is the blank. It's better if I just tell you the answer I can see. Blood. Of his merciful blood. Yeah, the blood is always merciful. You remember when the one brother killed the other brother? And the brothers who was killed, his blood cried to God from the ground. And God heard it. Cain killed Abel. And Abel's blood, it said it's still crying today from the ground. And God heard it, mercifully crying for blood to cover that foul deed. What will cover the blood? Only another blood. What will cover the fact that I shed blood is only someone else shedding blood on my behalf. To forgive me and love me until I become like him in every way. 10. 11. Initial repentance precedes faith, but also accompanies it, so that the two are never blank thereafter. If initial repentance precedes faith, but there's another kind of repentance that isn't initial, it's an ongoing repentance. And that one, so that the two are never apart thereafter. They're never separated. They're never apart. You always got to have repentance and faith, repentance and faith, repentance and faith, repentance and faith. Initial repentance occurs when we first hear God's word as gospel and believe and realize that God is blank us, for us, F-O-R. God is for us. God's for us. If God be for you. So God is for us. He's on our side. And then he desires to forgive us all our sins, past, present, and future, because of his unconditional love, and adopt us into his family forever. So, first of all, he's for us, and then he's in us, and then he's through us. In other words, it's always God. 13. Daily repentance occurs when we continue to hear and meditate on God's word as gospel day after day. Daily repentance. In other words, why do people continually say, God forgive me, God forgive me, God forgive me, I'm sorry, I did wrong. Why do we continue to say it? Because there isn't just one time forgiveness from repentance. Repentance is every day. Every day, repent again. Every day, start all over again. Start again. Not in your spirit, but now in your soul. You see, because my spirit man is no longer sinning because I have a new spirit. Old spirit gone, new spirit come. But that part's perfect. But now room number two, soul. Huh? That part, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, I got to do it again, 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 again. Not once for all. That was my spirit, once for all for my spirit. But now my soul, every day I have to educate it again. Every day I have to kill my flesh again. Every day I have to say I'm sorry again. Every day. And so, you know what? It never finishes until you're dead. Have you ever noticed that? That my anger has gone out of my heart, but it's still in my soul. So every day I got to, oh, I forgot. Yesterday I didn't have any anger, but today I got it all over again, and I'm mad today that I don't have it like I had it yesterday. So, you know, I can get mad all over again. And that happens. All that has to happen is somebody can irritate you. Amen? It seems like the devil puts people in front of you to irritate you. Does anybody notice that? That the devil has people that he puts right in front of you. That's God. God does that too. God's okay with that. It's okay. Learn to forgive him. He's going to keep putting irritating people in front of you until you learn to forgive him and love him. So, you know, get used to him. Irritating people are really, you know, obnoxious. That's what they are. But you know what? God wants you to rejoice. God wants you to hug that person, love that person, forgive that person, bless that person, just like God forgave you. I'll tell you, that's growing up. Growing up is learning to say, you know, God, you don't need to change that other person. You don't need to change them. I need the changing. I need to just see it differently. Ah, that's daily repentance. God, my fault again. Oh, sir, no excuse. My fault again. Peggy's innocent. It's me, I'm guilty. Oh, guilty again. Can't believe 3 days in a row now. It's been 3 days in a row. It's always me. Just get used to it. It's always you. Whether you're a husband or a wife or a child or a parent, it's always you. Always, 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 always. Daily repentance occurs when we meditate by faith. Oh, did I do 13? No, I didn't. Daily repentance occurs when we continue to hear and meditate on God's word as gospel day after day, remembering that he is always for us, that he loves us unconditionally, long word, that he convicts us without condemning us. Conviction is from God. Condemnation from the devil. Conviction is from God. To be convicted by the Holy Spirit is not at all a depressing thing. When the Holy Spirit convicts me, Jim, you weren't like Jesus right there. That's not condemnation. It's condemning my flesh, but not me. That's just convicting me. That's convicting me that I wasn't like Jesus. Remember, you say you were going to be like me? Oh, yeah, I forgot. Got a couple minutes left. I don't think I can get through. I'll try. Daily repentance occurs. Oh, did I do it all? No. Convicts us without condemning us, that he rebukes us without rejecting us, and that though he hates our sins, he never hates us. He hates our sins, but he never hates us. That is too amazing. You don't hear pastors saying that. I wish they would say that more. God hates sin. Some pastors say, oh, he's okay with your sin. You know, no. He hates your sin. But then they say, he hates you too. No. He doesn't hate you. He loves you. That's why he hates your sin. Because the sin's hurting you. Every time you sin, it hurts you. It isn't just that God's bothered by it. It's that God's bothered by it because he loves you and doesn't want you to perish. Doesn't want you to be unhappy. When you hurt somebody else, you're not only hurting them, you're hurting yourself. Isn't that you're bothering God? God's okay. How many know that your sin isn't really troubling God? What troubles him is that he loves you, and therefore your sinning is hurting other people and it's hurting you. That's what bothers God. Not that it's bothering God. God loves you. You're his son. You're his child. He chastises the ones that he loves. Daily repentance, 14, occurs when we meditate by faith on the fact. When we meditate by faith on the fact in his word of promise, his gospel, that he's not only for us forever, but that he's also working in us by his Holy Spirit to will and to do of his good pleasure until we are fully what to his image? Conformed. Same as transformed. Conformed to his image in our souls, in our lives, even as we already are in our hearts, our spirits, our inner man. So just like your inner man is already perfect when you're regenerated, that part of you is renewed, but the rest of you has to be daily renewed. Faith is not what I believe based on my natural desires. Faith is not what I believe based on my natural desires. Like, you know, I'd stand in the middle of the street and believe for a Cadillac. God, give me a Cadillac. Have one just come by right now. No, that's not faith. You all understand? Sometimes you hear the faith people saying something like this. Right now I'm believing for a new Cadillac. You're believing for a new Cadillac? What promise do you have from God that you're going to get one? Well, I'm believing for it. Oh, well, that's cute. But you know what? That's presumption. When did God give you a promise that you could believe in? You can't just believe. It's not something in your soul. Just, well, I just have faith. Faith in what? Well, I just believe he's telling me to divorce this woman. I see. Well, you have to have a word. You have to have a promise. When did God say that the wife you want to leave should be divorced? You just don't have that kind of command or that kind of promise. Stick with the monster. Stay with it. Why? It'll teach you to grow up. I'll tell you what, you really need to have a Jesus. Don't keep your illusion and divorce your husband. Keep your husband and divorce the illusion. It isn't him. It's me. Not him. Nothing wrong with him. Isn't that neat to know that God gave you a good husband? Even if you chose him yourself, it's okay. God okays the deal. He says, okay, you made your bed, now lie in it. You know, just stay with this one right here. No. Just grow up. This is a good woman here. This is a good wife. And I tell you, that's the way God does it. God's never going to get rid of his wife. Did you know that? The wife of his youth, Israel, he's still going back to her. All right, you're going to have to wait until January 8th to hear the rest of this. Dave, you knew I'd never get through. You knew it.